Open your Bibles tonight to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 18. We're going to read several verses as foundation for our message tonight. Matthew chapter 18, then we'll turn over to chapter 19. And then if you'll find Mark chapter 10, we'll read some there also. I want to speak tonight on this subject, Jesus and little children. Jesus and little children. You don't hear much preaching on that subject, and I don't guess I've ever really preached on the subject, a whole message on it, either. But it's some wonderful truths that we need to be aware of concerning Jesus and little children. Stand out of love and respect for the Word of God as we begin to read in verse number 1 in Matthew chapter 18. The Bible says, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily, I say unto you, except you be converted and come as a little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged around his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. And then in chapter 19, if you will, we'll begin in verse 13 and read 13, 14, and 15. Then were there brought unto him, that's Jesus, little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. These disciples were like a lot of adults and a lot of Baptists today, thinking Jesus doesn't have time for little children. But Jesus said, Suffer little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them and departed thence. And then, if you will, over to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, and we shall begin to read in verse number 13. Mark chapter 10 and verse number 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Notice that statement. Whoso shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them, and he blessed them. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Now, this is about the rich young ruler. Now, he wasn't a little child, but he was not an old man. He was a young man. In other passages, the Bible calls him a young ruler. And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto them, Master, all these things I observed from my youth. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. We'll leave off reading there, and I want to use this as the basis of our message tonight entitled Jesus and Little Children. Father, help me tonight as I speak on this very important subject. And I understand that there's much misunderstanding about little children and salvation and security and safety and on and on. But help us to understand what the Bible teaches, that we may understand our responsibilities and see little ones come to know You as Savior when they get old enough to understand. That age of understanding. And then, Father, we thank You for loving us and dying for us and providing a perfect salvation, one including those that are not able to care for themselves. Now, we love You in Jesus' name and ask You to help us to come to an understanding of Your Word concerning You and little children. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's good to see Brother Waits here tonight. Brother Waits been down taking care of the things in his family. His mother went home to be with the Lord, and he's been gone for a little over a week. And it's good to see you back. We've been praying for you, Brother Waits. God bless you, sir. In the scripture that we just read, the Lord makes us aware that He's very concerned about little children. Now, when I'm talking about little children, I'm not talking about young adults. I'm talking about teenagers, and I'm talking about little children that have reached the age of understanding, whatever that age might be, and those below that age of understanding. In Psalm 127, verse 3, the Bible says, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord." And God tells us that they belong to Him. The little children belong to Him. You say, "But they got my name." Yes, but God said, "I created them. I may have used you as the instrument for them to be brought into this world, but they are the work of God's hands, and they belong to Him." That word heritage means that they are His possession. They're God's property. And may I say to you, they're the delight of His heart. If we as fathers love children and grandchildren, our love is imperfect love. How much more does our Heavenly Father, who has perfect love, and Jesus, who has perfect love, how much more does He love them? Children are His property. And I'm glad I can tell you tonight that God, in His redemption, has provided eternal safety for them, for those little children, before they reach the age of understanding. I'm asked often what happens to little babies and children that die and they've not come to an age of understanding. And the Bible tells us what happens to them. The Bible lets us know that they, just as they were a part of sin's condemnation, and they were under the penalty of sin and died, they are also under the grace of God when He redeemed them and paid their sin debt. In fact, in Romans chapter 5, if you'll look with me, beginning at verse 14, and we'll look at verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, "Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression." Now, Adam's sin was willful sin. The only people that are sinners, that are under the curse, that have not willfully sinned, are little children that are beyond the age of understanding. Their only sin is the inherent sin of the depravity of the father. And so, but they're still under the curse. And then, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, and in case you can't figure that out, who they are, He said, who is the figure of Him that was to come? Who is the figure? Little babies. Jesus was born into this world as a little baby and grew into manhood. And so He's talking about these little children, little babies and children that have not reached that age of understanding. In verse 15 it says, "But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift of grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. And in those verses, God tells us there that in His grace and His redemptive plan, He's not only provided salvation for all who will call upon them, He's provided salvation for those that don't have the understanding to know they need to call on them, or they don't understand that they are sinners and under the penalty of sin. And that's little children. And I believe it would also include those who are mentally impaired. And though they are physically 30 years old, they are as a child in their mind. Many have a terrible misunderstanding about children being saved. I've ran into Baptist preachers and even independent Baptist preachers that don't believe that children can be saved until they're in their teenage years. But there's nothing in the Bible that teaches that. In fact, it's far from the teachings of the Word of God. The Bible does not tell us that children are to... The Bible does tell us that children are to remember their Creator in the days of their youth. Ecclesiastes 12:1 is a very important verse dealing with children and young people. It says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when they shall say, I have no pleasure in them." So he's saying we need to get saved in the early days of our life. I personally believe that if God would be allowed to have His way in everyone's life, then everyone would be saved in their early years, in their childhood or youth. There wouldn't be any hard-hearted 16, 17, 18-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 30 or 40-year-olds running around unsaved if God would be allowed to have His way. He says, I want people to remember they need God. They need Jesus. While they're in their young years, before the evil days draw nigh. You see, there is in every one of us the pull of the flesh and the pull of the world. And as we begin to get a little bit older, we begin to be hardened by sin. And may I say to you that day is coming earlier and earlier and earlier. I personally believe that these evil days are coming very early in the lives of our young people and our children in 2009. So much so that by their teenage years, many are hardened sinners and they don't care about the things of God. God says, I want them to get saved early. Now tonight, for just a few minutes, I want to point out some very important truths about Jesus and children. First of all, Jesus Christ loves children. Why? The Bible says Jesus is love. The Bible did not say that He loves only those that love Him. It says, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. The Bible says the very person of Jesus is characterized by the word love. He is love. He is love, the Bible tells us. Now, the Bible speaking about this rich young ruler said, Jesus beholding him, loved him. He was a young man. Jesus loves children. In the previous verses, Jesus was talking about little children. He'd take them up in His arms and touch them and bless them. He loved them. The disciples thought it was a waste of His time and they rebuked people for bringing those little children to Jesus. But Jesus said, you let them alone. You suffer these little children to come unto Me and forbid them not. And oh, Jesus loves children. In that same passage in verse 21, the story is about a young man who ran after Jesus and asked Him how he could inherit eternal life. He is known, this young man is known as the rich young ruler. The Bible says he's still a young man. The Bible says plainly that Jesus, beholding him, loved him. I've got good news for you tonight. Boys and girls, little kids, the God who created this world loves you. Jesus that hung on Calvary and died loves you. I want you to know that. And even when you get up in those years where you're awkward and stumble and your teeth are big and zits are on your face and you think, nobody could love me, Jesus loves you. And don't you ever forget that. Jesus loves you. Second thing I want to point out tonight is that Jesus wants us to know that He has time for children. Little children, don't you think that God's only concerned about the big bosses, the rich people, the presidents and the leaders of businesses. He's only interested in mamas and daddies. No, no, no. He's interested in you. You're His heritage. You're His possession. He loves you, and He has time for you. Don't you know your heartaches are as important to Him as my heartaches? Don't you know your needs are as important to Jesus as my needs? He has time for you, children. He loves you and has time for our children. Don't you ever be guilty of making fun of a little child's prayer. I'll be honest with you, I'd rather have some of these little children praying for me than some of you. In fact, every time I go out preaching, there's one young man here I ask to pray for me and tell him where I'm going because I know he's going to pray for me. Do you? When you know I'm out preaching somewhere, do you pray for me? There's a kid here that does. Jesus knows that. He loves them and He's got time for them. Why? Matthew 9:13 says, "Then were they brought unto Him little children, that He should put His hands on them and pray. And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer those little children and forbid them not to come unto Me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven." Like these disciples, many adults think that Jesus is not interested in the little kids, or He's too busy to be concerned about little children. Many adults today don't have time for little children. They're only interested in other adults. I know some preachers that wouldn't stop to witness to a child if their life depended on it. They're only looking for adults who can give tithes and offerings. You run those buses. Why you run those buses? They can't tithe. One day they will. It may be that we're reaching boys and girls that's going to support your church one day, sir. You know, Trinity has been faithful to build a lot of churches that's been in existence in Arlington, Texas. Everywhere I go, I meet church members. Used to be church members. Somebody had time for them. And I want you to know Jesus has time for little children. It's a joy. I was preaching in Lexington, Kentucky. And a young, nice-looking young man in his 30s mid-30s, picked me up at the airport. He was my host that week during that conference. He'd pick me up in the morning, bring me to the conference, take me to meals, take me home at night, whatever I need, take care of me. And he is helping me put my luggage in the pickup truck he is in. And he said, "You don't remember me, do you?" And I said, "No, I don't." He said, "When I was a little boy, you sent a church bus by my house in Louisiana. And me and my sister rode that church bus. And we got saved and you baptized us." And said, "I asked the preacher if I could be your host this week. And he brought me to church and we had a great time. He was a deacon in the church. He was in charge of the sound room. And just a blessing, just a kid. Got saved when he was just a little kid and they moved off to Kentucky." Oh, I want you to know God has time for little children and we as adults better have time for them too. Not to take advantage of them. God forbid that adults treat them ugly or abuse them or misuse them. But I want you to know Jesus is never too busy or uninterested when it comes to the needs of children. Well, He didn't want to see them at a distance. He wanted to put His hand on them and bless them. He had time for them. He took them up in His arms. It doesn't say Jesus takes adults up in His arms, but He did little children. And He loves them, and He has time for them. And He cares about their hurts. He cares about their fears as He does any adult, and maybe more so. I don't find where it says about adults necessarily, but I know in Psalm 27 verse 10, the Bible says, when my father and mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. What a precious promise. And that promise is not just for adults in their adulthood, it's for little children that feel like they've been left alone. We've got a lot of children today that come in that are in broken homes. They have a mother but don't have a daddy, or a daddy and don't have a mother. And you feel like, man, I'm only half loved. I'm only half cared for. I'm here to tell you, you've got a promise that many of us cannot claim. God said when mother or father forsake you, that God will take you up. He'll make you His special child and His special project. The children are important to the Lord. They're His special treasure. He desires for little children to come to Him with every need, every burden, every fear, every heartache. Third thing I want to say to you tonight about little children is there comes a time when every child needs to be saved. They need to receive Jesus Christ personally as their Savior. There comes a time when they come to that place of understanding. Now, we must be careful not to think that children must know and understand like an adult in order to be saved. The opposite is the case. Little children are saved just like adults saved, or maybe I should say adults are saved just like little children are saved. They're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, verily I say unto you, except ye, that is adults, be converted and become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. See, adults have trouble with faith. They want to reason it out, or they want to prove it. You set a little child up here, and that little child trusts you, and you can say, jump. I promise you, if Tom Davis stands down there and put little Sam here and he says to little Sam, jump! Little Sam will bail off of here trusting his daddy to catch him. Now, I wouldn't trust him. But Sam would. Now, and I would my daddy. And Jesus says, just jump, and they jump. By faith, they trust Him. But we want to try to figure it out. How can it be? And He says, listen, adults, you got to lay aside your reason. You got to lay aside your ability to try to prove God and prove Jesus and prove salvation and accept it by faith that He died for you on the old rugged cross and on the third day was raised again. That He'll give eternal everlasting life to anyone that believes. The rich young ruler was taught from a child how to keep the Ten Commandments and do right, but that did not save him. It is right to raise your children and train your children and teach them the Word of God from their youth, but that won't get them to heaven. Somewhere, when they come to that place of understanding, and I use that term because they don't have trouble believing in God. They don't have trouble believing about Jesus and His dying. They have trouble believing about sin. They don't have trouble believing about heaven. You ask, you want to go to heaven? Yeah. Are you a sinner? No. And the secret of that time of understanding is when they understand what sin is and that they are a sinner and that their sin is against God. That sin has separated between them and God. I promise you, I can come to little Sam down here and ask him, you don't go to heaven? He'll say, uh-huh. You love Jesus? Uh-huh. But that don't save him. There's got to come a day when he understands that he is a sinner. And at that time, when he understands that he's a sinner and his sins against God and keeps him out of heaven without that sin being paid for. And Jesus is the one that paid for it. And he calls upon him, they can be saved. And let me stop right here and say to adults that deal with children, you be careful when you deal with them. God doesn't have some special way of salvation for children and then adults are saved by repentance and repentance of sin and faith in Jesus Christ. They're saved the same way. And they've got to have that knowledge and understanding of their sin, and repentance is a change of mind and heart that leads them to turn to Jesus Christ because of their sin. And trust Him as Savior. Don't you expect them to be saved just by loving Jesus? Bless their hearts, they're so cute. Well, they don't have to do like an adult. No, adults say they got to get saved like little children. They've got to come to Him wanting to be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. We've got to make sure they understand the sin question. Now, some of you are very careful wanting your children to get saved. But thereafter is where you fail. Because the Bible says we're not only to get them saved, but we're to train them up in the way that they should go. We should bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. You know why some of our kids act like little heathen? Because you haven't trained them. Well, I bring them to church, I expect you to. You have them 7 days a week. We have them a couple hours a week. It's your job. You know why your kids scratch their initials on our new pews? Some of them already have. You know why? Because you haven't trained them up. You don't respect the house of God, and they don't respect it because they've learned from you. Train them up in the way they should go. They don't pray because you don't pray. They don't respect authority because you don't respect authority. They get in a little trouble, you take their side against authority. You're going to raise them up to despise authority, and you're going to live to regret it 10,000 times. There's a time when every one of them need to be saved. They have got to be trained up after salvation in Christ Jesus. The truth is, spiritually, the natural man understandeth not the things of God. Now, don't think you can teach your children all about God and spiritual truths before they're saved. You can teach them principle, and you can teach them character, and you can train them by your example, but they're spiritual teaching time comes after salvation, just like yours does. You know what a lost sinner can learn about divine things, spiritual things? He can learn he's a sinner and there's a God in heaven. He can learn about heaven and hell. But they need to be saved, and then they need to be brought up. They need to be trained. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We want them to get saved and we think that's the fix-all. But I'm here to tell you there are saved people today living like heathen are living. Because after they got saved, they were not brought up in the way of the Lord. You say, where'd my child learn that? Learned it from you. Where did he hear that word? Probably heard it from you. Where'd he learn to lie? Look in the mirror. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And then let me hurry on. Get off of that. You want me to hurry. Fourthly, Christ wants every child to choose to love Him and accept Him as their own Savior. He wants every child, to choose to love Him and accept Him as their own Savior. The rich young ruler came to Jesus asking the right question. But he refused to accept Jesus as his Savior. And the Bible says he did so because he had great riches. See, Jesus knew that the thing that was his first love, the thing that he delighted in more than anything else, is his possessions, riches. And may I say to you that we as our children today, and same was me with me when I was a child, and you when you was a child, man, possessions were important. You wanted the newest gadget, the nicest kind of car. You wanted the best this or best that. Possessions. My cell phone's better than your cell phone. Possessions. Why, kids think that they're not a human being today if they don't have a cell phone by 3. This young ruler had interest in things that he was not willing to give up in order to get saved. He went away sorrowful because he had great riches. He trusted in his riches. Now let me tell you, there is a real eternity awaiting every young person and adult. And if that eternity is to be in heaven with Jesus, then that young child must accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. It's a choice that every person must make when we come to that age of understanding, and there is no exception. The only people that are going to get into heaven without a personal acceptance of Christ are those that die below the age of understanding, and Jesus made special provision for them. And that tickles me, because that's God's joke on the abortionist. As awful as it is, it's murder. But every one of them is going to be in heaven. Every one of them, because Jesus loves those little children. And he's made provision for those little children. And then fifthly, we must make sure that every child who wants to get saved understands why they need to be saved. I got a little ahead of myself. Every little child loves Jesus if they haven't been messed with. If they haven't been taught otherwise. Every little child wants to go to heaven, but that's not enough. Even with a child, salvation is by repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you, if it's not, then there's more than one way of salvation. And there's only one way of salvation. Once a child's been saved, it's the parents' responsibility to teach them and train them up in the way that they should go, and to train them up, not in your opinion, but in Bible truth. You know what your opinion's worth? Your opinion with 50 cents wouldn't buy a cup of coffee at Starbucks. In fact, it wouldn't even buy you a cup, an empty cup. Now, in order for that parent to train that child up, that parent needs to get saved and be right with God. You're not going to produce saved spiritual children if you're not saved and living for God. I remember one time I was associate pastor over in Hearst, and the pastor was asked to come to Colorado to preach a funeral of a little child. That little child was drowned in a mountain stream. They were members of the First Baptist Church of Englewood, Colorado. The little child died in the flooded river waters on a Sunday morning at Sunday school time. It never happened if Dad and Mama had been right with God. And was where they ought. I've never heard of a kid drowning in Sunday school and church. Have you? I'm simply saying, if we're going to train our children up like God wants them trained, then we've got to make sure we're saved. We've got to make sure we're right with God as adults and parents. And shame on the parents that don't meet these God-given responsibilities concerning our children. How are you going to face God in that day when you stand before him? And then let me give you one more. And there's a warning of terrible consequences to anyone who hinders one of these little ones from coming to Jesus. Look at verse 6 of Matthew 18. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me. Now notice that. You hinder one of these little ones. If it were it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Now the word offend means, in verse number 6, to hinder or to cause to stumble. He says to any adult or any person that causes one of these young people, these kiddos that want to come to me, you cause them or hinder them from coming to me or causes them to stumble as they're trying to come to me and know me and live for me. He said, you'd have been better off to be drowned in this life by having a millstone around your neck and cast into the depth of the sea than hindering one of these little ones and have to face me. Now that's a warning. You say, what's God going to do? I don't know, but it's terrible. It's terrible. Beware, mom and dad. Beware, Sunday school teacher. Beware, youth workers. Beware, pastors. Beware, counselors. Beware lest your attitude and action cause one of these children we're entrusted with to stumble or be hindered in their pursuit of the will of God for their lives. We're all answerable to God if we lead them wrong. Let me listen again to the severity of the warning from Christ. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he be drowned in the depth of the sea. The Lord is telling us that it would be better for us to die in this terrible fashion than to hinder one of these little ones coming to him and have to face God with that sin in eternity. Well, let me conclude. Let us be diligent in winning and training children and young people for Jesus. Let us be diligent. Fact is, God has not sent us out to glean. He sent us out to reap. And the harvest that's available for reaping is not adults, it's children. It's children. Most churches spend all their time and energies only trying to reach adults. Oh, yes, we should reach them. Yes, we should give effort to reach them. But don't you neglect the children. They're God's heritage. God loves them. They're His special treasure. And they want to be saved. They willingly will accept Christ as Savior. The harvest fields that we can reap are in the area of children. When it comes to adults, we're just getting the leftovers, gleaning. We're getting those that's already been used by Satan and scarred and marred. It is the will of God that children be saved and trained up for Him before they reach adulthood. And don't forget the warning when you're dealing with children, even your children. It's bad enough for someone to hinder somebody else's children from coming to the Lord and growing up for the Lord. God forbid that it's parents or Sunday school teachers or preachers. You better understand, Jesus loves the little children. Father, thank You. Thank You for putting the simple stories in the Word of God concerning little children. Thank You that we have the opportunity to love them and call them by our name and raise them up and teach them about You and train them for their journey and adventure in life. God, we get so caught up that we spend more time training them to play baseball or to sew or cook or play football or to fish than we do training them up in Your way. Now, Lord Jesus, help us tonight as a church to love those You love and give time and attention to those You give time and attention to. Now let us remember how important little children are to You. And God, I pray as a preacher And I pray, Lord, as a teacher and a leader, and for all of our Sunday school workers and bus workers and youth camp workers and everyone that's involved with children, that we'll give the time and the attention and the love and the help so they can know You and grow up in Your will to glorify You. We ask You to bless our children. Thank You for them. Help them to grow up to be young men and women that will cause Mom and Daddy great joy and bring great honor to Your name. Lord, we've got some that are struggling with attitude problems and personality problems and sin problems. And I pray, oh God, that You'd give them victory and teach them to trust You and to become Your special treasure like You plan for them to be. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.